Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, happy Sunday. Next up, it's Soul Joy with Cecilia. She's pretty new on the network here, really new. So let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Cecilia, welcome back.
Hey, Nicole. Great to be here. Great to be here. Can you hear me okay? Am I coming through?
Perfectly.
All right. Well, welcome, News for the Soul listeners. I'm so happy to be back today for my second show. I'm Cecilia Pose Buckley, and like Nicole said, this is my new show, Soul Joy. And I am a soul-directed energy healer, and I also do forgiveness work with people, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. This evening is this amazing forgiveness process that I learned and have gone through and have taken hundreds of people through to that freedom. That's why I titled the show Portal to Freedom, because that is what forgiveness is. So,
Sounds good.
Should I just launch in then, Nicole?
Yep. The floor is yours.
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks so much. So, I'm going to be talking a little bit about my forgiveness story, about this process that I take people through, and really not only what forgiveness is, what it isn't, myths about forgiveness, and the process of forgiveness, because sometimes people want to forgive, but they don't know how to do it. And there is a process that was research-based out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and has been used for decades all over the world, and that's what I'm going to be telling you. It's really an amazing process, and it's changed my life, absolutely, and I have many testimonials of people who've gone through it, and also all of the information and the research that has been done by the International Forgiveness Institute on people who've gone through this process. So I told this story last time, but I'll just revisit it, you know, how I came to be such an enthusiastic promoter of forgiveness, and particularly this forgiveness process, which is called the Enright Process Model of Forgiveness, and that's because it was developed by Dr. Robert Enright out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I was living in Madison, Wisconsin, and I had just gone through a divorce. And I had a very young child at the time. And I like to say I did not come into this world with a forgiveness muscle. I came into this world with a resentment muscle. So it has taken me a long time to develop my forgiveness muscle. And a huge part of that has been this forgiveness process. So, and I wanted to forgive. I didn't want to continue resenting my former husband, who is a really great person and also the father of my child. I knew that if I continued to resent my child's father, that would not be a good and healthy thing for him. And I did feel stuck, though. I didn't know how to forgive. You know, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I was just told that I should forgive. My religion told me that I should forgive. My family told me that I should forgive. And my culture told me that I should forgive. But I didn't know how. I thought if I just said the words, I forgive you, that meant I forgave somebody. And I didn't really understand that there was much more to it than that. So when I was so distraught and, you know, in a very negative state after going through a divorce, which is never easy, no matter what the circumstances are, because we had come to the conclusion, you know, together, that it would be best for us to separate. But still, it's hard. And so I had a couple of friends who were studying with Dr. Enright. This was in the 90s. This was a long time ago in the mid-90s. The forgiveness work had been going on for about 10 years by then, though, or maybe 8 years or something like that. And these friends, independently of each other, came to me with this process and said, I think you could benefit from it. Now, at the time, the process was like a list of 19, I think, I think it's 20 now, but at the time it was like 19 steps that you to go through in order to forgive someone. And I just felt overwhelmed by looking at the list. It made me want to faint. Excuse me. And I, but I held on to it. And I read it and I tried to understand it. And I, you know, and I talked to these people and I knew, because when the universe presents you with two independent people telling you the same thing that's very specific, you know, I know that I should pay attention. So I wanted to understand it and I tried to learn about it. I'm not sure, but I don't know if Dr. Enright's book was out at that time. He has written a couple of books and I don't know, or several, and I don't know if his first book, which is called Forgiveness is a Choice, was out by then or not. What happened for me is that I think I tried to absorb that information, and then a couple of things happened. One, I went to a retreat for the church that I belonged to at the time, which was Unity Church of Madison, and there was always a summer, a week-long retreat for all of the churches in the Great Lakes area, and it was a wonderful, amazing retreat. And it was at this retreat that I'm not sure exactly what happened. It was just, you know, it was God, it was spirit. Something moved me when we were in some kind of workshop. And then at the end of the workshop, we were doing this movement and song together. Like, if you're familiar with Dances of Universal Peace, it's in the style of that. So you're singing. If you're not familiar with that, you're like in front of a person, you're singing some beautiful words to them, they sing them back to you, and then you move on to the next person. And this, what we were singing was, I am love and you are love, we are one in love right now. You know, and it was, of course, was about agape love and just the love that we have for people because they're human and because there's a spark of divine in everyone, right? Everyone is a child of God. So I was doing that process, and I was just struck by the idea, or maybe it was part of the workshop, to think in your mind, to visualize in your mind doing it with somebody who you were having a hard time with or something. And I found myself spontaneously singing those words in my mind, you know, in my imagination, or, you know, having the intention. This person wasn't there, but just having the intention of saying those words to my former husband, not to be, you know, not to get back together, not to reunite the marriage, because forgiveness isn't about reconciliation. It's about an internal process that we do to free ourselves, to be free of that negativity, and to also cultivate love for the person who we were so, you know, we were harmed by and we were so angry at. That all takes time, and this process walks you through it. So somehow, like, this whole process had worked through me. And then what happened was I went to grad school and I studied with Dr. Enright, and I was privileged to study with him and to have an independent study where I needed to do a project. And I decided that my project would be to develop a workshop taking people through the process, which I'm going to explain to you, because it's very, very rich, and it's very deep, and to take people through the process and to do that at my church. So at Unity Church of Madison, one afternoon in, I think, March of 1999 or something like that, I took a group of probably about 22 dozen people through this process by having them do some meditative journaling and just going through these phases that this work has. And I'm going to tell you what that is. I'm so excited to share about it because it's just so, so rich. So I did that, and it was such a beautiful thing. Like, people were obviously having a deep process. That was a church where there was already, like, it was a healing church. So there was already, like, Kleenex in every row, and, you know, and people were having a cathartic experience, and they were moving through this process They weren't just, you know, sitting there learning about forgiveness and saying, oh, I should do that. They were moving through a process to get from all of the resentment and anger to move through those phases through a commitment to forgive and a change of heart, and then working on seeing that person in a different light, which I'm going to tell you more about. So that is how I got introduced to this work. And then I proceeded to give this workshop over the years since then, numerous times to various groups. And every time that I do it, I always, for a long time, I feel like I'm at a place where I don't necessarily have forgiveness work to do each time I give one of these workshops. But in the beginning, I had much forgiveness work to do. And so every time before I gave a workshop, I would bring myself through my own workshop so that I would be sure to be, you know, walking my walk, you know, and not just talking the talk. So I've gone through this process many, many times for many different events that have happened in my life, many traumas, et cetera. And the biggest one really for me has been my relationship with my mom. And I want to tell you that, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence. Today is October 6th, is both the birthday of my former husband, who I'm still very good friends with, and it's also the anniversary of the passing of my mom. My mom passed on October 6th, 18 years ago. And because I had gone through this process, I was able to be with her when she passed, and I was able to help her make that transition. I was able to have a vigil with her overnight. I got here in Colorado, where I live now, from Wisconsin. My son came with me. We got there. I sent everybody home and I said, I want to be with my mom. And I had a vigil with her and just, you know, told her all the great things that she had done in her life, all the things I was grateful for her. I sang to her. I prayed with her and I ministered to her. And that was a result of going through this process. So I'm going to just backtrack a little bit and tell you about this model, and then I'm going to tell you what it is. So, like I said before, it was started in 1985 by Dr. Robert Enright and a group of people, researchers and others out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison Educational Psychology Department. They studied world religions and philosophy, and they talked with people who had forgiven very significant things, like I think I mentioned on my last show, a woman named Marietta Yeager, whose daughter had been kidnapped and murdered by someone, and her process of going through forgiveness. They wanted to know exactly how she did that, and they were able to map it out by doing you know, all of this research of religions, philosophy, other people who had studied forgiveness, and talking to people who had actually forgiven. So they developed these 20 steps, and those steps are divided into four phases, which I'm going to tell you about in a little bit. I want to tell you about this work, though, because it is still going on so many decades later, and it's just ballooned around the world. It's just completely blossomed around the world. So in the early years, so many different groups of people went through this process, and they still are taking many different groups through the process. So some examples are emotionally abused women, college students hurt by emotionally distant parents, elderly who were hurt by family members, incest survivors, people recovering in a drug rehabilitation facility, men who were angry and who had cardiac problems, hospice patients, so many different people, you know, going through similar experiences. And these researchers would take them through a process, have a way of measuring their emotional health. And I'll talk a little bit more about what that means in a minute. But for example, in the incest study, the results showed that there was an elimination of psychological depression in the people who went through this this process with the researcher who was working with that group, and that was Dr. Suzanne Freeman. And even 1 year after the forgiveness process was over, after they had gone through that work, their depression remained low even after a year of after going through it. So the research has shown that forgiveness bolsters emotional health and provides a way of healing for people who've been treated unjustly. And so this work has kind of also naturally blossomed into peace work around the world. And for example, in 1999, the International Forgiveness Institute was working behind the scenes, as maybe you remember Reverend Jesse Jackson talking with President Milosevic in Belgrade regarding having mercy on the imprisoned American soldiers. And in the end, the president did choose the path of mercy and forgiveness and release them. And then in 2002, the International Forgiveness Institute launched the development of forgiveness education for children. This is a K-12 curriculum that brings children through a process of understanding how to be a forgiving person by using stories, by working with them on just the little things that happen that are big. You know, when you're a kid and you're pushed on the playground, or somebody takes something from you, or you're treated unfairly by your teacher, or those kinds of things. They took this work across the globe. Again, one of the first places they went was in Ireland, and in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and also in Milwaukee, Central City, so cities all over the world. What they have found is that children who learn about forgiveness and how to apply those principles, their levels of anger go down. And so it's, you know, it's a hope that as children are developing their, what we want to call their forgiveness muscle, you know, as they're growing up and going through maybe everyday situations, maybe traumatic situations, but as they're going through their lives and as they become adults, they're going to have a different response in the world than if they hadn't done that. So you can see the Belfast work featured in a documentary called The Power of Forgiveness, which I just watched last week. You can stream it for like $2.99. It's really, if you're interested in this topic and you want to be really, you know, you want to find out more about it, or you want to be inspired, that's the word I was looking for. Be inspired by forgiveness that is happening for people around the world and people in different situations. It's a really great film to see. It's called The Power of Forgiveness. So finding out if forgiveness can bring about peace is a research question on the table, which is very exciting. And I want to just stop and say that when the International Forgiveness Institute, when Dr. Enright and his researchers bring forgiveness to people, whether it's individuals or groups or a school or wherever it is, to whatever people, it is always presented as a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. We can't force people to make the choice because that totally totally negates it. It has to be something that you want to do, right, that comes from your heart. And then there's help to learn how to do it, right? So it's not something that's being forced on people. And it's something that there, like I said, countries around the world, Northern Ireland, Israel, Iran, Rwanda, Colombia, Nigeria, Korea, Scotland, Italy, Greece, Slovakia, the Philippines, Lebanon, the United States, Pakistan, India, and many communities around the world. As I'm reading that list, I'm just, you know, still like, wow, it's so exciting that all over the world, people are learning about forgiveness. And in 2017, the International Forgiveness Institute hosted a conference on forgiveness in Jerusalem. And at that conference, there were speakers from Judaism, from Christianity, from Islam, discussing what it means to forgive, the importance of forgiveness, and how to better interact with others through forgiveness. And that just, I don't know about you, but that does give me hope for the world. And like I said at the in my last show, I think in response to a question that Nicole had, you know, the best way for us, my knowing, my absolute knowing in my bones, the best way for us to promote peace in the world is to do our own forgiveness and to find peace within ourselves. If every single person on the globe found peace within themselves, you know, and did their own forgiveness work, we would have a different world, you know. So that is, so I think that that's exciting because that means that there is something I can do, contribute to world peace. I can contribute to world peace by being a more forgiving person. And what that means is that I'm not going around resenting something that happened to me 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, which is what I would be doing if I didn't know about forgiveness work. Because like I said, I came into the world with a resentment muscle and not a forgiveness muscle. Now, over the decades, I've been able to strengthen my own forgiveness muscle. Am I perfect at it? No way. No way. In fact, as I was preparing for this radio show, I was struggling with a resentment that I had towards, I'll just say, towards somebody who had done something hurtful to a family member of mine. And I was so angry about it that it was affecting me physically in a way that really caught my attention. And I knew, okay, I have to, you know, this isn't a coincidence, right? Like I'm getting ready to talk about forgiveness. I have to do my own forgiveness work here. And I was able to get to the place where I could have empathy for this person who did this harmful thing to my loved one. And so that is where we want to go. That doesn't mean, and I'm going to explain this, you know, really in detail so you understand, that does not mean that I condone that person's behavior. What that person did was wrong. What it does mean is that I can separate the person from their behavior. I can still have empathy for them. I can still cultivate compassion for them. And I can, the most, you know, important thing for my own quality of life and my own inner peace and my own physical health, because there is definitely a scientific link between not forgiving and physical problems, the best thing that I can do for myself is to let go of all that anger and to be able to get to the place of empathy and compassion. And I'm going to explain to you how to do that. So it's so exciting because we can do it consciously. It doesn't have to be something that we just wait around to happen or we hope will happen. You know, I definitely believe praying for help is definitely a good way to go because in my mind, in my experience, for most people, you know, I listened to a podcast by Dr. Enright, that Dr. Enright was on by Sanjay Gupta, which was it was a fantastic podcast, and I can give you the name of it in a little bit. But he was talking about how, you know, most people don't forgive things right away. We need time to grieve. And that's okay. So most people aren't, you know, that saint that somebody's going to do something heinous to them and right in the moment they're going to forgive. Like the story is of Gandhi, that as he was, you know, in the process of being assassinated, he forgave his assassin, right? That's a unique example. That's something to strive for, but most of us aren't there. So we just, you know, do the work as best we can. And that's great. So I talked a little bit about I want to talk about the benefits of forgiveness. So if you look at WebMD, they talk about the potential benefits of forgiveness as lower blood pressure. They have done studies where people, again, have gone through a forgiveness process, their blood pressure is lower, a stronger immune system, a drop in stress hormones. When we're angry and agitated, and cortisol gets shot off into our system, it wreaks havoc. You know, it just wreaks havoc in our body. There's a drop in stress hormones when we forgive. There's a reduction in elimination of physical pain, they have found. There's a lessening of anger, resentment, bitterness, depression, and other negative emotions. On the IFI, International Forgiveness Institute website, They talk about enhanced psychological health, physical well-being, and overall life satisfaction. So who doesn't want those things, right? And all the price is to, you know, go through this process. So and a really good example of that was a study that the International Forgiveness Institute did of maximum security correctional institution, men who were in a maximum security correctional institution. They were all clinically angry, anxious, and depressed. And after completing the forgiveness program, they had non-clinical levels of anger, non-clinical levels of depression, and close to non-clinical levels of anxiety. So they went through a program of the process of forgiveness that I'm going to tell you about, and that was the result for them, which is just tremendous. So like I said, when we don't forgive, we have higher levels of cortisol in our body, for example, higher blood pressure, and we can reverse those effects through forgiveness. And that podcast that I told you about just a few minutes ago, it's called The Forgiving Brain, and it's on Dr. Sanjay Gupta's podcast, Chasing Life, in December of 2023. He interviewed Dr. Enright. And so if you're interested in that, you know, more about forgiveness, more about the scientific research being done and what goes on in the brain, I highly recommend that podcast. So now I'm going to go into what is forgiveness, what isn't forgiveness, and how do you do it. So in this model of forgiveness, because forgiveness is a big word, and I think sometimes people don't want to do it because they misunderstand what it is. In this model, it is letting go of resentment, anger, contempt, negative judgment, all that negativity that we hold towards somebody who has offended us. And it, along with a gradual experience of empathy, compassion, and even love towards that person. Now, that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And this quote I really love, I'm not sure... the quote is unknown, like it's, I'm not sure exactly who said the quote. Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that crushed it. Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that crushed it. I love that definition. So here's where people get confused and they don't want to forgive, or it makes them cranky. And I understand that. Like they get it confused with condoning. They think some people think if they forgive somebody, it's like saying what that person did was okay. And no, we're not saying that at all. You can hold someone accountable for their behavior and still forgive them, okay? So an example of that is I remember reading about Pope John Paul II. Somebody tried to assassinate him. He went to the prison where that person was and forgave him. He didn't let him out of the prison. He wasn't saying what you did was okay. He just said, I forgive you for doing this. He's still holding him accountable, right? So it's also not pardoning, like a legal pardon. That's part of the legal system. Somebody could be legally pardoned for something, but that doesn't mean that the person they harmed forgave them, okay? It's not excusing the person from responsibility. It's not forgetting. And it's not denial, pretending it didn't happen. And the whole first phase of the Enright process model is all about really feeling the effects of whatever it was that happened to you in order to forgive. We can't heal what we don't feel. It's not conditional. It's not like a tit for tat. You know, I forgive you if you say you're sorry. That's not forgiveness. It's not merely saying the words, I forgive you. You know, and that's kind of what I thought it was because, you know, if say my brother did something to me when I was a kid and my mom would say, you have to forgive your brother. Do you forgive him? And then I would say, I forgive him. That's not forgiveness. You know, I probably didn't forgive him. You know, I didn't know how to do it. And I just said that because it was expected of me. And the words might not match the feeling, right? And it's not just a passage of time. And that's what I realized when my two friends came to me with a forgiveness process about going through the divorce, and their parents were both divorced both of them came from divorced families, and they told me, independently again, both of them, my parents, you know, never forgave each other, and it made their lives terrible, right? It made their life really hard because their parents never forgave each other. So I knew that for me, time would not do it, that I would have to make an effort. And like I said last, and I just want to say this again, like I said last month, that is not to say that I didn't have things that my former husband needed to forgive me for, or, you know, if he chose to, because, you know, we harmed each other. We were very young when we got married. We both came from pretty traumatic families. And so, you know, it went both ways, but I'm just speaking about my own forgiveness process. So I want to talk about things that what forgiveness is. It is a choice that requires action. So we've talked about that. It's a choice. It's a change in thoughts, feelings, and behavior towards somebody who wronged you. That doesn't mean, the behavior part doesn't mean that you have to reconcile with them, because I'm going to tell you in a minute that it doesn't mean reconciliation. But the behavior could just be that you're not saying, that you're not gossiping about them, or you're not saying mean things about them anymore. That could be the behavior change. Forgiveness can be considered undeserved based on the harmful action that someone did to you. Forgiveness is overcoming wrongdoing with good. It is giving good in return for evil. So that's what I like to think about forgiveness. It is giving forgiveness, okay? So I have talked a little bit about it's not reconciliation, because it's forgiveness you can do all by yourself. It's so powerful. I just want you to feel empowered that you can forgive, and it doesn't have anything to do with the other person and what they do. If they're past, if they're deceased, you can forgive them. It doesn't, if they don't even know you, forgive them. If you never speak to them again, it doesn't matter. You can do it. It's an internal process. It's one person's response to another person's injustice. Reconciliation requires two parties coming together in mutual respect, and it might be part of the forgiveness process for some people, and it might not, but I just want you to know that it's not necessary. So people often ask about self-forgiveness. Can you forgive yourself? And yes, you can forgive yourself. It's harder. It's more involved. Because just like I said, in forgiving another person, you never have to see that person again, and you can still forgive them. But guess what? We live with ourselves. So that's why I think it's harder. We're harder on ourselves. And I believe it's easier to forgive someone else than to forgive myself. That's my experience. And I did just hear Dr. Enright say that when I listened to the podcast. He also expressed that we're hard on ourselves. It's easier to learn to develop that forgiveness muscle with somebody else and then apply it to ourselves. So I have two workshops that I give. One is on bringing people through the process of forgiving another person, and one is on the process of self-forgiveness. And they're done separately. And we can't mix them up, because there's actually more steps involved in self-forgiveness than there are in forgiveness. So I always recommend, if people are going to take the workshop, or if they are going to do their own forgiveness work, work on forgiving someone else first. So now I see that time is just speeding along, and I do want to leave time for questions. I'm going to tell you about these phases. This is the magic piece, you know, that I was missing. How do you do it? We know what it is. We know what it's not. How do you do it? Okay. So there's these phases. And the first phase is called uncovering. The second phase is the decision phase, or the change of heart. The third phase is the work phase. And the fourth phase is like the outcome or deepening phase, where things like kind of all come together. And initially, though, you have to identify what it is that you want to forgive. So that is in the workshop that I give, and the way that the process has unfolded for me, and the way that it works best with the material that I have, which I, again, developed when I was a grad student and I was doing this independent study, and I was taking the research of many of Dr. Enright's students, and developing that research into a workshop that could be done by people in the course of over a day. It's a day-long workshop. I like to take people through the whole thing at once. I've done it piecemeal before, and that just leaves things open. It's much better to just move through the whole thing in one at one time for this process that I do. So the first thing is identifying what it was. And it's helpful if it's really pretty specific. So, you know, I'm forgiving so-and-so for saying that really hurtful thing when we had lunch, you know, that was very devastating to me. That's a great thing to work on. If it's just like, if it's more global than that, it's going to be a little bit harder to move through the process. So that might seem odd, but remember, we're talking about going to the forgiveness gym, developing the forgiveness muscle, so we can do it like actually one event at a time. One event at a time. It goes a long way to developing that forgiveness muscle. So the first thing that we do when we're going through the forgiveness process is this phase one called uncovering. And that is facing negative emotions such as anger, hatred, desire for revenge, shame, facing all the negative effects that the injury had on you, awareness of how much emotional and mental energy is going into what it was that happened, and examining defense mechanisms. And we do this, the way that I help people through this process is by this guided meditative journaling. And then we have some really nice ceremonies that we do as we're going through the process that are integrative. So one of the things that we do in uncovering is look at how much energy we give to what happened. So if you are listening to this podcast right now, if you're listening to the radio show right now, and you want to think about something that might be coming up for you that is something that you may want to forgive, some unresolved situation that you still have energy and negativity around, one thing that you can do and that I invite you to do right now is think about that that event. And if you had 10 energy points for your day, how many energy points would you assign to that injury that you experienced? In other words, how much space is it taking up in your mind and your body and your time right now? You see, I told you earlier that I was going through a real time of resentment for someone who had done something hurtful to a loved one of mine just a couple of weeks ago. And at that time, I was probably spending a lot of energy points on that. It was physically affecting me. So I was conscious of it a lot. And I found myself repeating the incident over in my mind. I found myself, you know, saying things to this person. So it was taking up maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 energy points, I would say. So that's just a little exercise that you can do for that. That's just one thing that we do in the uncovering phase. The uncovering phase is very involved. Then the second phase is called the change of heart and the commitment. And I love that it's the change of heart because that just reminds me of heart math, the Heart Math Institute that has done research about the heart, and that there's actually a whole heart brain. We have a whole brain in our heart, and our heart communicates with our brain. We have neurons in our heart, actually, and our heart is somewhere that we can go. You know, we do this all the time, but it's actually now being scientifically researched about why. It's because we have a heart brain. And so we actually can connect with our heart brain and make a decision about whether or not we want to forgive. And that's what we're doing in the second phase, is maybe just even saying that we're willing to forgive, you know. Even that willingness or willingness to become willing to forgive, a change of heart is starting to happen. A shift is starting to happen. So I like to think about that wonderful story, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and think about the Grinch, you know, whose heart was really teeny, teeny, tiny, And then it suddenly grew and grew and grew, you know, and it just popped all the boundaries. That's what happens for us. You know, maybe the forgiveness gem is really in our heart, right? A lot of it is in our heart. And it does affect our brain, but it also affects our heart brain. So there's a lot of great information about that through the Heart Math Institute, and you can check them out. They talk about all of the things that happen when we have negativity, all of the depleting emotions, releasing excessive amounts of stress hormones like too much cortisol, like we talked about, and adrenaline. But then when we experience heart-related renewing emotions, our body releases these regenerative hormones like anti-aging hormones, oxytocin. Anyway, it's pretty fascinating to me, all of the science behind this. So they have a wonderful breath exercise that you can do, breathing through your heart, becoming aware of the area around your heart in the center of your chest, and then just breathing in and out of your heart slowly. So if you find yourself getting anxious about something that happened that you feel traumatized by, that you're considering forgiveness about, you can do that heart breathing. That will go a long way. The third phase is the work phase, and that's where we learn to view the offender in context and see with new eyes and develop that empathy and compassion. Now, again, that is not to let them off the hook. That's not to excuse their behavior. That's just to see them in a context and develop empathy for them. Like with the person who harmed my loved one, I now look at that person as somebody who does deserve my empathy, because I think that person really actually lacks empathy themselves, and that's why they did this harmful thing. Like, I think they did it out of ignorance. And in my spiritual tradition, my spiritual teacher says, you know, it's helpful to see a person who hurt you as like a little five-year-old. Like, how would you treat a little five-year-old child, you know, who had hurt you? Think about them from that perspective, or even think about what that person's life was like as a child. You know, the forgiveness work that I've done with my mom had a very traumatic life, very traumatic. And so as I have done my forgiveness work with her and reflected on things that happened in her life, and some of those things didn't even come to light until after she had passed, that I didn't even know about her life, you know, that helped me develop a lot of empathy for her. Again, it's not saying that something traumatic that someone does to you or something abusive that someone does to you is okay. It's not saying that. It's just saying, you know, you've got to look at people in a different way in order to develop empathy, and that's going to help you. Remember, that's going to help you. So I see the time, and I'm blown away. I've just talked and talked and talked. I love this story. One of the things in the third phase that Dr. Enright and his work talks about is showing merciful restraint, which is restraining from negative words, thoughts, and actions towards the offender. So that's the beginning of showing love to that person, merciful restraint. If there's any Harry Potter fans out there at all, and you remember in The Prisoner of Azkaban, when Harry Potter threw himself in front of Peter Pettigrew and did not let Lupin and Sirius Black, you know, kill him for what he had done to Harry's parents. That is Harry showing Peter Pettigrew this quality of merciful restraint. Okay. Now, that didn't mean that he didn't want to still hold him accountable for his actions and, you know, see him be put in prison for that. But he was showing merciful restraint by saving his life. And then you can, you know, I'm not going to go into a big Harry Potter thing right now. But anyway, giving love, you know, that's something that That was the key for me. Again, going back to that story that I told you about forgiving my former husband and doing that exercise in the retreat that we had where we were singing these words about I am love and you are love and we are love and one right now. You know, I know that really love is all that exists. Like God is love and we are love and we are one in love right now. All we have to do is choose that. And that is what forgiveness is about. And in the fourth phase, the outcome deepening phase, that's when we realize that. And we realize, and things come together in ways that we couldn't even have imagined. And we can even have gratitude for the things that have happened to us. They don't; those things don't happen, you know, in a flash. It's a process. And people have movement when they go through this process, when they come to the workshop and they go through this process, they have movement. And Dr. Enright says, that even just the movement through the process, even if you don't get to the complete phase four outcome or you're not going around preaching love for the person who harmed you, but you've just had some movement, that to your health, that is beneficial to your mental health. So that is what I want to tell you. I'm so excited that I was able to tell you all about that. And now, if there are any questions on the line, I can take questions. If you have a question about something about the process, or if you have a question about, you know, well, would this situation be something that I could forgive? Anything that you have, I think the lines are open. So go ahead and let's see if there's any callers.
Can you hear me now, Cecilia?
I can.
Okay, good. Two quick things. So we've had lots of callers the whole hour, which is great, and we've got time for one quick one because you've got like 6 minutes and you want to be able to have time to wrap and do some shameless self-promotion. So we're looking at a few minutes on our end. Let's go to 203, area 203. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hey, hi. It's Pat from Connecticut. Actually,
Pat.
Listening. Hi. It's very interesting. Yeah, forgiveness is something that I've been taught for a year and a half by a minister, and it's very much, it's interesting. People that are talking about forgiveness now are all kind of, it's sort of the same thing. So I'm enjoying listening to you. If anyone else is calling in, I'll just pass it on and continue listening. Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling in, Pat. Really appreciate that.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Did you want to put anyone else on, Nicole, or did you want me to move on to the end?
Sorry, I keep missing my button. 610, you're up next. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from? 610.
Oh, is that me?
It sounds like it.
Okay, hi. My name's Joanne. I'm calling in from Ohio.
Hi. Hello.
I am making notes, and the one thing, I don't really have a question, make a little comment, or something that you talked about made me think of something previously that I had heard was spoons, if you have so many spoons in the day.
Right.
And how are you using them or giving them away?
Yes, exactly, Joanne. How, if you have 10 spoons and 7 of them are going to some resentment, then you only have 3 left to do the rest of your day. That's a great,
right.
I love that. I love using the spoons. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Sure. That's all I got. Thank you so much for this podcast.
You're very welcome.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We have officially, we're in the last 5 minutes. So we should get you to do a basic wrap it up, tie it all together in a neat little package with our main takeaways. And then we've got some time for shameless self-promotion. after that.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for the folks who are on the line and calling in. If you have questions that you would like me to answer, I'm happy to do that. You can email me at souljoyhealing@outlook.com, S-O-U-L, joyhealing@outlook.com. Or you can go to my website, souljoyhealing.com, and you can connect with me through that. And you can also find out information about, I have a forgiveness workshop coming up on Saturday, November 16th. It's going to be 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mountain Time. And I have an early bird registration. It's only $99. This is such a deal. If you have a forgiveness, you know, something that you've been working on, you haven't been able to get through it yourself, it's really nice to do in community. So I think that's a nice way for me to wrap it up, because I did my own forgiveness work by myself a lot, and it was pretty hard for me. I had Dr. Enright's book, which is great. I think, it's fantastic. It will definitely take you through the process. And it's called Forgiveness is a Choice. So highly recommend that book and another book that he wrote called 8 Keys to Forgiveness. And if you want some support and help, then, you know, that's what my workshop is for. So when I was doing some really deep healing forgiveness work with my mom, I had help from one of my friends who, again, had studied with Dr. Enright as well. And that was really helpful to me. So that's why I created the workshop, because it's hard to do. I think it can be hard to do on our own, because it's just easier to do in community. I'll just put that. So what I want to say about forgiveness is that you can do it. It is your choice if you want to do it. If you want to be free from the negativity that has been, you know, roiling around in there, and you want to be free of that, this is a way to do that consciously and to take dominion over your life and your spoons, as Joanne said, you know, that you have so many of in the day, and have your energy back. It's a real, I like to think of it as a spiritual warrior kind of a thing. Forgiveness is definitely, you know, it's not something that you do that is weak, right? You have to cultivate a lot of strength to go to that forgiveness gym, right? So it's easier if you think about working out with other people. You know, it might be easier if you have a buddy. It's easier to do in community. So that's why I do this work in community. I also am an energy healer, so I can also work individually with people. If you feel stuck and you don't really want to go through a workshop, but if you want a little bit of help, and you want to get through and past a certain blockage with forgiveness work or with anything else, I also have an energy healing practice, and you can find out more about that, again, on my website at souljoyhealing.com. So, I think that what people have said about the workshop, many different positive things that people have said, and I will just say that everyone who finishes the workshop has always had a good experience. The only people that haven't had a good experience is when they have stopped in the middle and they haven't finished it, because it is, it's a day-long thing. So if you stick with it, just like with anything else, you're going to come out the other side. People have just express their gratitude. You can read testimonials on the website. What people have communicated is that it's really nice to have a way to go through it. It's just nice to have that concrete way to go through it. So it's something that can be applied and done. I think that's it.
Well, I'm perfectly to time. Yay. Well, this was great. Great topic today. Great first official show. And looking forward to next time already, Cecilia. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, Nicole. And thank you, everyone, for joining.
All right. And we're back with more after this quick reset break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. www.soulmindatnewsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.